We have Elder Newbill with us today. Praise the Lord. He's an elder at the New Life Church. And I understand he's going next, not too far away from now, to Oakwood to study the ministry. So I know we're going to enjoy his words. And I'm going to turn him over to you, Elder Newbill.
Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. Oh, I don't think we can do better than that. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Isn't it good to be in God's house one more time? I would ask that if you have your Bibles or your phone app, if you can turn to the book of Matthew. And I would also ask if you would stand. I'm asking you to stand for a couple of reasons. Number one, maybe you had a breakfast that was big. You might get sleepy. This will help you wake you up. Second reason is when Pastor Ben asks you, well, how did Monty do? I would like for you to at least be able to tell him and be honest that Monty had y'all on your feet. So if you could, please rise and we will read Matthew, the sixth chapter. We're going to read 25 through 34. Again, that's Matthew chapter 6. And when we read verses 25 through 34. I will be reading from the Living Bible, and it says, "So my counsel is, don't worry about things, food, drink, and clothes, for you already have life and a body, and they are far more important than what to eat and wear. For look at the birds, they do not worry about what to eat. They don't need to sow or reap or store up food, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than they are. Will all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothes? Look at the fields of lilies. They don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't you more surely care for you, O men of little faith? So don't worry at all about having enough food or clothing. Why be like the heathens? For they take pride in all these things and are deeply concerned about them. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need of them, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." Shall we pray? Father, these are your people and this is your word. More of you and less of me. In your name we pray. Amen. The topic of our discussion this morning is these storms. In life, we have a lot of ups and downs. There are things that go about in our life that can apply pressure to our life, can cause certain uncomfortable situations. There are good times and there are bad times. There are times that we are on top of the mountain and there are times that we are low in the valley. There are two specific purposes for storms, though. There are storms that you go through because you were obedient to God, just like the 12 disciples. If you remember, he said, "Let us go to the other side." Jesus knew that they was going to face storms. Jesus knew that they was going to face trials. Jesus knew what they were about to receive. But then there's also people like Jonah. Jonah decided to disobey God, and he also ran into a storm. There are the storms that you run into because you were disobedient, and there are also the storms that you run into for following what God wants you to do. But the thing of it, my brothers and sisters, that these storms that we face serves a purpose. And everything that God allows us to go through, there is a purpose. There's a purpose for the storms that come when we're disobedient. There's a purpose for the storms that we run into for following God. But the thing is, where's our heart? Where's our mind? Where is our relationship with God when we go through these trying times, when we go through the good times? Do we praise him and celebrate him for who he is when things are good? I'm sure that we do. it's very easy to serve God. It's very easy to honor God. It's very easy to praise God when everything is going well. But when those times come and we are having trials, do we still give him the same glory? Do we still give him the same honor? Do we still give him the same praise? Sometimes we don't. And sometimes that we go through those storms, it's for us to simply be reminded of who God is and what he does for us. Now, there's the first purpose that God allowed these storms for. The first purpose of these storms is the God's purpose for our storms are for our transportation. God's purpose for our storm is for our transportation. You see, if you look at Job, his transportation was a physical change. He was supposed to go to where? Nineveh. God had a specific thing for him to do, but he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He wanted to do his own thing. So what did Jonah do? He decided to go run and flee. And there God met him at a place where he was low, at a place where he was desperate. God got to Jonah and shook his life up where he got swallowed by the fish. And then ultimately put him where he needed to be at to do God's will. Jonah, while he was there, got swallowed by a big fish because of the storm. God had to intervene into Jonah's life to physically change his direction. But ultimately, it'd be nice to know that in his physical change being corrected and changed, that his spiritual life was changed too. If you know his story and you read on, he went and did what God wanted him to do, but he did it with a grudging spirit. So much so that I can see it in my eye that when he went and preached to these people, he told them, I hope y'all go burn. I hope that y'all don't make it. I hope you stay where you're going to be at, because I don't want you to be saved. I'm only here because God told me to be here. And beloved, a lot of us do the same thing in life now. We only do it because God has told us. Our heart is not convicted. Our heart is not in it. Our heart has a troubling side to it. And we only do it because he told us to, but we don't do it because we truly love him. I would dare ask you to raise your hand if you came to church because you love God. More than likely, everyone will raise their hand. But in the moment when you have a storm, do you still show that love of God in how you act to others? You see, the storm sometimes don't come for you. It sometimes comes for those that are around you as well. Consider the people that was on the boat with Jonah when he got thrown off. Did they do anything to be put into the storm? We don't know. The Bible don't say. But there's people in our life that get placed into our storm simply because we are going to be the deliverance for them. But then you also think about the disciples. The disciples were put in the storm because God wanted to not only physically change their direction, but he wanted to spiritually change their direction. For anyone that encompass and be around Christ, he ultimately wants to change you. There's many stories where there's a whole lot of people around Jesus, but no one is getting converted. There's a lot of stories of a whole heap of people being with Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus, searching for Jesus, but they're not being convicted. They're not being changed. The woman with the issue of blood, how is it that she was the only one to receive a blessing? How was she the only one that received a change of heart, a change of spirit, a renewed life? But there was a whole bunch of people around them, even the disciples. How is it that too many times we only hear of select few people getting healed by Jesus, but yet Jesus always had a multitude? I would submit to you and say that even coming to church isn't enough to be healed by God. Just doing your Sabbath school lesson isn't enough. Reading your devotional isn't enough. Knowing the Bibles from front to back is not enough. You must want to have a relationship with Christ. You must seek to have a relationship with Christ. And in the end, when it comes time for you to change, because all of us are sinners, all of us need a new body. You're not going to be able to take what you have now with you when it's time to go to heaven. So in order for us to be ready for heaven, we must be ready for heaven now. And Jesus knew that the disciples weren't ready to continue on the journey. So he said, let us go to the other side. On the other side was possibilities that they didn't know about. They had just received, they had just seen the miracles of God. But God was like, even all of that was not enough for them to see how good I am. Even all of that was not enough for them to see and know how powerful I am, how much coverage I have on them, how much control I have over their life. So he said, let us leave this place and go to the other side because there are more people that need to know my glory. And you are not going to hinder me. Are you a hindrance to God and what he can do for people around you and even yourself? So what God does is he sends these storms into our life to transport us. He also sends these storms in our life for testing. In testing, God uses our storms to expose us. Are you a Christian who fear him? Are you a Christian that have faith in him? Are you a type of person that is fearful for the things that goes on in your life when things are wrong? Or are you the type of person who trusts God, who has faith in God and know that even though the storms may come, and beloved, they will come. How will you act? How will your spirit be? Is your spirit going to be rotten because you're in a bad place? So because you're in a bad place, you want to put everyone else that's around you in a bad place too? That is not of Christ. He sends these storms to expose us. When things go wrong, are you going to be fearful and be like, oh, I don't understand why this is going on with me? I got baptized and I believe in Christ, but it just seems like everything wrong is going. And I'm scared to do little things because I'm scared to address this person and tell them that they are wrong, that there is a God, because what if they check me and I don't know enough? Or I'm scared to tell my boss that I can't work on Sabbath because I don't want to lose my job. This is the only thing that's providing shelter for me. This is the only thing that's providing financial blessing to me. I'm scared to tell them because I don't want to lose my job. Or your family members, because a lot of us may be the only Adventists or Christians in our families. We don't want to stand to them because, you know, them they're not going to look at us the same. They may view us differently, and I don't want to be viewed as that type of person. Are you a fearful Christian? Or are you a faithful Christian where God places people in your life to help you and not only help you, but you to help them? He places people in your life so that you can give to them, that you can use the faith. It may be something that you learned at VBS 70 years ago, but God can take that little thing that you learned then and bring it back to remembrance so that you can use that for his glory. God uses the storm to expose us to know if we are faithful Christians or we are fearful Christians. In testing, God also uses our storm to check our relationship with him. Who do you look to when you're in trouble? What do you do when you're in trouble? Who do you listen to when you are hurting? Who or what is allowed to give influential authority in your life? Beloved, some of us have the wrong vices that we use to help us when we're uncomfortable. Back in the day when Oprah was, I guess she's kind of still popular, but back in the day when Oprah had her TV show, there were many people that would flock home. There was many people that would rearrange their work schedule in order to get to their homes in a timely manner so that they can receive what Oprah was going to tell them. But beloved, Oprah can't get you to heaven. There's people that do that with Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil can't get you to heaven. Dr. Oz can't get you to heaven. The judge show can't get you to hell. Beloved, as hurtful that is, the pastor can't get you to heaven. You and your relationship is what's going to get you to heaven. So when time gets rough and time is trying, who do you allow to prophesy in your life? Who do you allow to give in your life? Beloved, the only thing that should be in our life that gives us strength in time of trouble is God. And there's different things that he has allowed us to have access to that helps us, the Bible. I remember when I was deployed and I was going through a hard time.
And I just, being a chaplain assistant, you would think that I would know these things. But, beloved, there were these Bibles that came in one day, and it was called the Voice Bible. And I wanted to know, well, what's the difference with the Voice Bible? And I just opened up the Word, and the scripture that it was talking about that day helped me through that situation. I knew that that was God's way of reminding me that His Word is true. His Word is powerful. His Word can give you light in darkness. His Word can be bread when you're hungry. His Word can be water when you're thirsty. His Word can be the strength when you feel weak. His Word can be the comfort you need when you're discouraged. His Word can give you the sight that you need when there's nothing else there that you can see. The devotion that comes about is good too. But what you must do with devotion is pray that God provides the correct devotion for you. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and this is the New Living Translation, says, "Don't worry about a thing. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can ever understand. His peace will guard our heart and mind us as we live in Christ Jesus." This is telling us that in everything, pray and talk to God. When good things, pray and talk to God. In bad things, pray and talk to God. Tell Him what you need. Too often, we are too fearful to tell God what we really need. If there's more money that you need, tell God what you need. Because the thing is, He knows what you need. But it's a thing about showing or making yourself weak to Him. The Bible says when we are weak, then He is strong. He can't be strong in our life if we're trying to be equally as strong as Him. We will always lose. But the Bible tells us, don't worry about anything that's going on in your life. That means don't worry about the things in your past, because you can't change that. That means don't worry about the thing that you are currently going through, because God ultimately has the final say so. And certainly, brothers and sisters, don't worry about the things in the future, because it ain't even happened yet. Pray about everything. Not some things, not little things. You must pray about everything. And it says, when you pray, and not only must you pray, you must thank Him for what He is doing and what He's done. Too often we ask for things, but we don't thank Him. Too often we want the gimme, 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 but we don't stop and say, thank You for the little things that You've done for me that I don't acknowledge. Thank You for, let me say this. I was late for a reason today. I was late here for a reason. I live in Mount Morenci. And when I came back the second time for leaving my wallet at the house, my phone is my wallet because I got my stuff right here. So I was doubly in trouble. And I can't be driving illegally. I don't think I want to do that. That's not right. That's not good Christian stewardship. So I went to go get my phone. But when I was coming back, there was an accident in the same spot. Had I left on time from New Life, if I had left on time, there was an accident. And more than likely, I could have been involved. Now, I don't know that, but God knows. So you know what? There's things that God do for us in our life that we don't even acknowledge. So I suggest to us, Lord, I don't know what You did today for me that I may not recognize, but Lord, I thank You for letting me get here. I thank You for the little things. I thank You for the big things. I thank You for the small things that You're going to do that I have no knowledge. Thank Him in everything. And then when you do that, it says pray. It says don't worry. Pray. Thank Him for what He's done, then you will experience God's peace. Amen. You don't get God's peace unless you acknowledge who He is. Yes. You don't get God's peace, true peace, if you don't give Him the glory that is due to Him. Yes. Give Him the honor that's due to Him. In testing, God uses our storms for us to acknowledge God and who He is. When He shows up, when He shows signs of fear and worrying, it also shows that God It shows to God that we don't trust him. So in life, when we have storms and we're troubled and we worry, it is what we're showing God, or what we're telling God, is we don't trust him. We don't trust his power. We don't trust his promises, because I think he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And therefore, what that means is, even in your storms, when it feels as if you're by yourself, God ain't leave you. I'm sorry, God has not leave you. Even when there's dire situations, my father passed. Some of you may know him. But even in the fact with my father dying, God was still with us. Even when I was in Afghanistan being shot at, God was with me. Even when I was traveling on the dangerous highway and there could have been people drunk, there could have been people under influence, God kept me because I'm still here. So that lets me know that God is always going to be with us. We must remember that in our storms, that even as rough as it gets, even as loud as it gets, God is still with us. But the problem that we have is, if we don't see God and what he does, we instantly, or sometimes we gradually, lose faith in him. There's a beautiful illustration of Jesus at the cross. And at the cross, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? You see, because Jesus took on the role of us sinners, therefore he lost the connection with God. There was a certain divinity complex that he had when he was up in heaven, but he lost that when he came down on earth. So because of that, there was a connection that was not there. So when he was on the cross, when he said, why have you forsaken me? He could no longer see the Father. But beloved, the goodness of it is that even though Jesus could not see the Father could see him. And anytime we go through our storm, we may not be able to see the Father, but the Father always sees us. We walk by faith and not by sight. In Romans 8:29, it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together. This is why I know God is good. That children's story for them two young girls was also a children's story for us. Hear me out. And we know, this is the New Living Translation, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. The Living Bible says, and we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plan. The Good Word Translation says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those whom he has called according to his plan. You see, like she said, lemons by itself ain't good. It may taste good, but too many lemons after a while breaks down certain things in our body. Sugar by itself, even though it tastes good, it ain't good for us. Lemons by itself ain't good. Sugar by itself ain't good. But when you put it together, you get lemonade. Let me come a little bit closer to you. Cake. I love cake. It looks like I like to eat, don't it? I like cake. But, you know, some people may have allergic to eggs, so they can't have eggs by themselves. Some people are allergic to butter, so they can't have butter. Some people are allergic to different type of flowers, so they can't have flour. Some people are allergic to like different types of sugar. They're allergic to a specific thing. However, if they mix it with other things, they are able to enjoy the goodness of it. So my son, who is allergic to eggs, he loves cakes, but cake have eggs in it. So how is he able to eat the cake and not get sick? It's simply because all things works together to the good of those who love God. When you mix things up, the church is another example. There might be some people who ain't strong with knowing the Bible. There might be people who are strong in knowing the Bible, but when you mix those people, they all coming together for the good of God. There's some people that can sing. There's some people that can play the piano. I can't do either. But we have the sisters and we have some brothers that can do what? But when they all come together for the good of those who love God, we come and join ourselves here because we love God. All things work together for the good, not the bad. As long as you love God and you follow his purpose for you. In testing, God uses our storms for us to experience His love. His love, His grace, and His mercy. Too often, when we're in storms, we get all three. I remember when I moved to Hawaii, my family and I moved to Hawaii, we was given this thing called poi. And this thing is, anytime you go to a restaurant, they automatically give it to you. You don't ask for it. You don't order it. You just get it. Well, beloved, that's how grace works. We don't deserve it. We don't ask for it. We don't order it. God just gives it to us. And then there's love. There's a love that we can never compare to God's love. God's love, not our brothers and sisters' love, but God's love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, brothers and sisters, I may love you, but if you hurt me, I can separate my love from you. But God's love, there is nothing that we can do that can ever separate us from the love of God. So when you are in your storm and you forget about God, that is not separating you from His love. When you go and you're in a storm and you do everything but bless the name of Jesus, you curse His name, you doubt who He is, you are fearful in what you do, you're worrying, you're anxious. All that does not separate you from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation separate us from the love of Christ? No. Does persecution separate us from the love of Christ? No. Does famine, does nakedness, does trouble, does the sword, does people who is against us, does people who is against God, do they separate us from the love of God? No. And the storm is a simple reminder that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what you do in your relationship with God, His love is greater than the storm. The third thing that the storm does for us, the purpose of God for the storms in our life is for a testimony. It's for a testimony. The first thing was transportation. The second thing was testing. And the third thing is a testimony. A good Christian always have a testimony. A true believer always have a testimony. At Seventh-day Adventists, we don't always have a testimony. Being a Christian, you will. Christianity, I think I said this last time I was here, so I think I'll say it again. Christianity is the identity. Seventh-day Adventists is the mission. The identity is what's going to make you recognizable to God. The denomination is the flavor. So the Christianity is vanilla cake, right? I don't like vanilla cake. Let's try some. Oh, here we go. The Christianity is red velvet cake. Who like red velvet cake? I love red velvet cake. So Christianity is the red velvet cake, but the denomination for us, Adventism, is the cheese, cream cheese frosting that goes on it. Because red velvet cake don't taste right if there's no cream cheese frosting on there. The frosting is what helps the cake. So the denomination is what helps you be a Christian. It flavors you. But being a Christian is what's going to get you to heaven, not the denomination. Someone's mad I said that, but amen. Bless the Lord anyway. The testimony, us as Christians, when we walk out of this place, we ought to be a living testimony. So picture it. I remember a story I heard of a daughter and a father driving, and they ran into a storm. Now, the daughter, who was fairly new driving, she was uncomfortable. She was fearful. She said, "Daddy, I can't see." And the father said, "Can you see the lines in the road?" "Yes." "Well, follow the lines and let the lights of your car guide you in where you need to go." But the daughter kept saying, "Dad, I can't see where I'm going." And the father is saying, "My daughter, just follow what I just gave you. Follow the light. Follow the lines. The lines will guide you." "But Dad, I can't see nothing." "Follow the lines, follow the light." And they're going back and forth. And then sooner or later, she was out of the storm. She had been fussing and complaining so much that she didn't even realize she was out of the storm. All she knew is, "Oh, it's light and I can see." And she's like, "Well, Dad, I can see now." And the father said, "Pull over. Now I want you to look back and see. You are the only one that went through the storm because you kept pushing. You trusted in the light." What is the light? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light. The lines that are on the road for us is the Holy Spirit, the Bible. The Bible's there to guide us down the road, while Jesus is the light that lights the path for us. And in this illustration, the father told the daughter, now all those people that was in the storm that couldn't see, they pulled over. But guess what's different between them and you? You're now out of the storm while they're still in the storm. Beloved, the storm doesn't come in our life for us to remain in the storm. The storm comes for us to trust God, trust His light, trust the path that He has trailed for us, so that eventually we are out of the storm. There's too many people currently going through a storm that God only planned for them to be in there for a little while. There's some people that are still going through a storm because they refuse to leave the storm themselves. I think I heard something. I'm so glad trouble don't last always. But for some people love that the trouble lasts always, because it gives them a reason to make excuses. I know that's not none of us here, but there's people that we know that we enjoy having an excuse of why we should not follow what God wants us to do. Those type of people are still in their storm. God did not intend them to continue in that storm, but they have basically rebuked God's plan and followed their own. I think the Bible says, for I know, not me, but God said, I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans to hurt you, but to help you. They're not plans to destroy you, but to build you up. I know the plans, so follow my plans. But the testimony that we have is not just how we act, it's how we think. It's our mentality. You know you need patience when you're in a storm. And too often in our patience, we get upset with God because He hasn't worked or He hasn't moved when we wanted Him to. So because we're mad and we're waiting, we start grumbling and we start murmuring and we start gossiping. And we start bearing false witness, and we start doing devilish things that is not of God, because we don't know how to patiently wait. To be a good Christian, you must learn how to patiently wait. You must learn how to prayerfully wait. You must learn how to praisedly wait. That's not a word, but it's a nubilism, but you get what I'm saying. How is our attitude when we're waiting? Do we sit there with the frowned up face in church and be like, happy Sabbath, sister?
Happy Sabbath.
Well, what's wrong, sister?
I'm fine. I'm all right.
You know, being a Christian, your attitude does matter to God, right? You know that. Your attitude, you cannot have a grouchy attitude but say, I love the Lord. That doesn't match. You can't say, I respect what God has told us to do, but sit there in your heart, you're angry to the point where you become a stumbling block for others that are around you. Your attitude, when it does not reflect God, can become a stumbling block for others. There are people that may want to reach out to you and ask you about this God that you serve because they don't know it. They don't know them. Or it seems like you know something about God, but I want to know, but you got a nasty attitude. I'm saying this because I used to be that person. I used to have a nasty attitude with certain people. And it had to take God saying, how are you being a testimony to me? Too often people that don't know God, they think that in order for being a Christian, one of the criteria you have, you got to have the grouchy face. And that is not of God. In our testimony, are we reflecting Christ? Or are we reflecting ourselves? Is it about what we do or is it about what He do? Is it about us glorifying us, lifting us up, or is it about glorifying God and lifting Him up? In our testimony, in our test, and in our transportation, there's a purpose that God is trying to get us to a higher level. And that higher place is in heaven. But we, if we want to go to heaven, we must act like that now. So, James 1, verse 1, and this is the Living Bible. It says, from James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Jews, Christians scattered everywhere, greetings. Hear the words. James chapter 1. And this is verse 2. It says, dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. I'm going to say that again. Dear brothers and sisters, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Is your life full of hardship and trials? Is your life full of hardship, of pain, of suffering, of sadness? Is your life full of that? Well, then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems. Too often, brothers and sisters, when we face a problem, we try to cut our way out. And in doing that, we miss out on our blessing. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. What is this telling us? That when we have our storms, be happy. Because in our storms, our patience grow. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And in order for us to have a good relationship with Him, we must have strong, positive fruits. So your patience will grow. And then when it is at full bloom, when you have reached the area where God is happy, then your character, then your Christianity, then you can be a good beacon of hope for others. But if you don't have trials and temptations, because some people believe that they don't, you should consider your relationship with Christ. But in closing, the opening scripture was Isaiah 40:31. But those that wait, some of them say those who are patient. Some of the scripture says for those who hope upon the Lord, they shall receive renewed strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall walk and never get weary. They shall never grow tired. But what I want to focus on is this eagle. A lot of times we know that eagle is symbolic of good. And we know that the serpent is symbolic of evil. In this, I've always wondered, like, why would you use an eagle as a reference? Now, growing up, you know, I grew up in a very strict home. We couldn't watch many things on the Sabbath. We didn't have VeggieTales at that time. You know, we didn't have the TBN channel. They had good shows for young kids to watch. We didn't have that. We had Kings of Kings. We had Ben-Hur. We had National Geographic. We had The Greatest Story Ever Told. We had those type of movies. Long, drawn up. I can tell you word for word, section by section, every one of those movies because I have seen it in repetition. First Sabbath, Kings of Kings. Second Sabbath, Greatest Story Ever Told. Greatest Story Ever Told. Third Sabbath, Ben-Hur. Fourth Sabbath, National Geographic. But I became very interested in animals because of National Geographic. It's just God's creatures is amazing. You know, they got different creatures, different things. But one time they had a segment on eagles. And eagles are phenomenal creatures. And a lot of people who love birds, they love eagles because they represent power. They represent freedom. They represent independentness. But here's what I want you to think about. Eagles are very fascinating because when storms come, eagles do things that other birds don't do. You know, when storms come, a lot of pigeons, a lot of chickens, a lot of ducks, a lot of geese. When storms come, they flap in and they hurry up, get to a place where they can seek shelter. But these eagles do something phenomenal that I think can help us when storms comes in our life. You see, the eagles, some eagles have wingspan of almost 15 feet. You play basketball, that's basically from the baseline to mid half court. Some eagles have long wingspan, so you know when they fly, they fly gracefully, they soar. They don't have to do a bunch of work and flapping their wings because they just use the winds to project them where they need to go. We went to my brother and my sister's wedding, and in the background, there was this eagle just soaring. Matter of fact, I don't even remember the eagle flapping his wing one time while we was there. All we saw was the eagle just swoop down and, you know, swoop down playfully and just, and the winds catch underneath the wings and guides it up, and it just soared, just raised up. It just lifted up on eagle's wings, not pigeon's wings, because pigeon's wings aren't strong enough to use the wind as strength. A pigeon, if a storm comes and the wind gets too rough, it's and find a place to perch. But eagles, it uses that wing, the wind, to help it go higher. So there's three things in that I want to kind of teach you, so it helps you when your storms come and how to properly navigate with the storm. So the eagle's, the wings is 15 feet. Remember, 15 feet. And what the eagle does is, first, before I talk about the wings, eagles have lungs that are bigger than most birds. And why that is because the altitude and where they soar is thin. So they must have the lungs in order for them to be able to breathe that high. And what that can tell us is we must have the word of God in us. That's going to keep us when we go through when we go through high places that we normally should not operate. So what that means is when there's things going on in your life, when there are trials going on in your life, have the word. Let the word be the breath in you to allow you to keep soaring rather than other birds, because when they can't breathe no more, they go down. Chickens don't fly that high because they weren't created to fly that high. Ducks were not created to fly high, but we were created to fly high. We were created to be as high with the angels and with Christ in heaven. So the word of God will help you have the breath that you need when the world cuts off your air. I'm going to say that again. The word of God gives us the breath that we need when Satan comes and thins out our air. When Satan comes and tells us in our ear that God don't really love you. He just let you go through a storm. God got something planned for you, but it ain't for your good. When the devil comes and tries to shorten your oxygen because he's trying to cut you from the love of God, all you do is use your lungs, use the Bible, and let it bring air into your soul. And then the wings, it can be up to 15 feet. So when the storm is coming, the eagle know that the storm is coming. And beloved, we sometimes know when the storm is coming. The eagle senses that the storm is coming, and it doesn't look for a place to land. It doesn't look for a place that he needs to hide. He just shifts their feathers, adjusts their wings, and they go a little bit higher. And so when the storm of life comes and something happens in your life where it's a burden, something in your life happens where it's a problem, something in your life is a stormish attitude, or it comes to oppress you, or it comes to bring problems in your life, just expand your wings. Shift your feathers. Adjust your wings and go a little bit higher, because the eagle allows the storm's winds to prepare it higher. Well, beloved, where are we trying to go? We're trying to go higher in the Lord. We can't go higher in the Lord if we don't know how to react to the storms of life. But here's four things to consider about the storms. Number one, everyone has some type of storm. The storm will come. Number two, everyone handles their storm differently. So one, don't judge them in how they handle their storms. Some people are able to remain in the storm. Some people are able to fly over the storm. But beloved, everyone handles their storms differently. How you handle your storm is important to your relationship with God. Number three, storms will never last. The storm will go. The storm is only a temporary thing. Number four, the sun always shines brighter after the storm. What this tells us is Jesus will always remain by you in the storm, through the storm, and after the storm. In closing, I suggest and I recommend to you to use Isaiah 40, 31 as a foundational scripture for you when problems come in your life. For they that wait upon the Lord shall find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Why is it necessary to soar high? There's a lot of chickens, a lot of ducks, a lot of geese that look up to eagles. You can't be an example if people are looking down to you. God has placed us, God has a desire for us to be placed high so that we are good representation of Him. He's not setting us up because we want to look good being high. And this is not a mentality like I'm over you. It is a mentality that look up. And when people look up at us, they should see us and see God in us. But what they ultimately are looking up to is Christ. They should see the love of Christ in us. They should see the comfort of Christ in us. They should see us being a true example of a Christian. The literal term of a Christian is a little Christ. Are you a little Christ when you stub your finger on the hammer? Are you a little Christ when you're at work and people are pressuring you? Are you a little Christ when you're running late and every light decides to turn red and you know you're going to be even more increasingly late? Are you a little Christ when someone openly threatens you and have plans to attack you and your character? Are you a little Christ when things are going bad? Well, beloved, just remember, the storm will come. And some of you may be in a storm now. But in order for you to be high and lifted up so that God can, that people can see God, you must know how to operate in the storm and operate above the storm. Operating above the storm is not you fleeing from God's purpose. In some case, you should not enter in the same storm over and over and over. So when there's a storm that God has allowed you to go through, the next time that storm comes is when you use your eagle's wings to go above it. And each time your storms will decrease. You may start off with 10, then you have 4, and then you have 1. For God knows the plan He has for you. He has a plan to, and the plan is ultimately for us all to celebrate with Him in glory. So if you're in your storm, pray, thank Him, celebrate Him. If you just exited a storm, pray, thank Him, celebrate Him. If you see a storm brewing and coming, pray, thank Him, and celebrate Him. And in these things, it would allow you to soar high on eagle's wings.